Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, one of the things you will have heard across the news all morning is that a secondary school in Mallow in County Cork is investigating the circumstances surrounding the posting of what's being described as a rape list in the boys' toilet. And the matter has been referred to Gardaí. Basically what there was a list up on the wall in the boys' toilet and it had said who the one with the most ticks gets raped, and there was a list of girls' names with ticks beside them, and I suppose in a manner of speaking people were voting for such a thing. What do you make of it? How would you feel if your daughter's name was on that list? How would you feel if she had the most ticks? How would you feel if your son was one of the persons putting up the ticks, or indeed made the list itself? It's a big thing to be talking about. And to discuss this now, I'm joined by our own Lunchtime Live relationship expert, David Kavanagh. David, you're very welcome. Tell me what you thought about this. Obviously, you've heard the news. What you think about this occurrence?
Well, I think it's shocking. I think any young woman who has to be educated in an environment like that, I think it's abusive to, it just goes beyond comprehension in many, many ways. I do think it's probably a tip of the iceberg, and maybe it's a watershed in our society in the sense of, you know, we need at some point now, I think, to really start asking questions about what sex education is, about the influence of pornography or violent video gaming on children's brains. When are parents going to take responsibility for the fact that if you give a child a smartphone, and you allow the child unfettered access to pornography and all sorts of unsavoury material, their brains are going to be distorted. Their perception of sexuality, communication, reality, and respect for women and even for themselves is going to be distorted as well. And, you know, at some point we have to say enough is enough. And as parents, we take full responsibility for it. We can't blame the smartphones. We can't blame the internet companies. I've handed my child a smartphone, so therefore I am responsible for whatever material my child accesses if I don't have parental controls in place.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I mean, we covered earlier on during the week on the show things like the calculator app, which is an app that goes onto people's phones. They download it. It looks like a calculator when the parents look at it. In fact, you can do mathematical things on this calculator,
but then you press
one of the buttons on the calculator app and what actually appears is the hidden browsing history, the hidden photos and the hidden videos that you've downloaded. Parents are challenged by this area. I've come back in my head to the idea is we just stop giving them the phones, because we have to just accept when they have the phones, they're going to see this stuff.
They're going to see this stuff, and the male brain is wired towards sex and towards thinking about sex. You know, if once puberty happens to a boy, never mind women, but once puberty happens to a young boy, their brain is hijacked by their hormones and they can't control the impulses that they have. They literally can't control them. They're just beyond their comprehension. So if you add fuel to that fire by giving a child a smartphone, and yes, I mean, kids will be clever, they'll be devious, whatever you want to call that piece where they're trying to access stuff they know they don't want their parents to know about.
We've always done that.
I mean, we
didn't always have smartphones and we didn't always have easy access to
yes.
videos of porn,
yes, yes.
But we've always hidden things from our parents.
Absolutely.
That's the nature of children.
It's
moving beyond the influence of
yes,
their parents.
It's the nature of adolescence. It's risk-taking behaviour. It's pushing boundaries. It's testing the limits of what they can get away with. They're always going to do that. Unfortunately, the danger of a smartphone or access to, you know, the internet on their own at home and with a tablet or in their bedroom, the dangers of that, I don't know if people fully get, but I see them from my private practice, because I've 20-year-old men coming into me for help because their parents have referred them, because at 12 years of age they were given unfettered access to the internet, and 8 years later they've gotten themselves into unbelievably dangerous situations doing stuff they really shouldn't have been doing. But you know, the parents are like, well, we expected more from our child. I'm going, really? You expected more from a 12-year-old when you handed him a drug-inducing kind of a facility, basically, like access to drugs, and you want the child to be different or to be responsible when they can't control themselves? It's not fair.
It's probably more about naivety, I'd say, than irresponsibility.
It's naivety
in a way.
It's a lack of awareness. It's because, sure, it's only a smartphone. It's not that damaging, really.
What do you say to Barry here? Barry has texted in, David, and he says, Ackman, a few ticks on a kid's toilet is a watershed in Irish society. Tell that guy to get real. So Barry thinks this is no biggie.
Well, I'm very real, Barry. And if you know, if your partner, if you have one, or if your daughter was somebody who experienced that level of fear and intimidation in a secondary school or a primary school, then I would feel sorry for you if you didn't take a different stance on this, because she's going to feel very unsafe, I imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to ask all the kids, but I think they'll feel very unsafe.
Someone else is totally agreeing with you. Anne says, Kira, I work in a boys' school. Your guest is right. It's porn. They are confused about the difference between sex and abuse, and they are too young to tell the difference. Some people will be taking exception, I think, to what you said about their uncontrollable urges, David, that young lads are bombarded by hormones and they have uncontrollable urges. Are they uncontrollable? I mean, does that sort of let people off the hook for behaving in the way that these lads in Cork have behaved?
When I say uncontrollable, what I mean by that is it's very difficult to control. A 13 or 14 year old boy who's in class is going to be having sexual urges and sexual thoughts anyway. All the time. You know, teacher walks in, she's anyway attractive. He's going to be thinking all sorts of thoughts about her. It's just a fact. Or about the, if he's gay, about the male teacher, it doesn't matter. That's just normal part of adolescence and being a teenager. They don't need this extra layer of arousal, which is from the internet addiction.
How would you feel if your daughter was, you know, in that school? And I'm sure the parents in school are wishing to God they weren't in the news today. I'm sure nobody wants their kids to be in a school that's in the news for this kind of reason. So I do feel for them. But I think the bigger picture issue is that we should be talking about this, because this is not probably only one school. This is exactly a reflection of a societal thing. It isn't like this school in Mallow is the weird anomaly. This is probably going on around the country. This is just an example of it. How would you feel if your daughter was on that list with the ticks beside her name and lads were discussing whether or not she should get raped?
Well, my daughter is four, so if she was if she was 12 or 13 and she was in that school, I'd be horrified. I'd want to speak to every single parent of every single boy that placed a tick on the wall in that toilet, and I'd ask some serious questions about, what are you doing? What do you understand by this? How do you think this is okay? I'd probably take my daughter out of the school. I'd not be dismissive to the amazing work I'm sure the principal and staff are doing to try and fix this problem. But I just couldn't have her being educated in a school system like that. I think it's abusive.
But if you moved her from that school to another school, is it not the possibility, because this is an endemic part of our society? I mean, we don't. I never know what I feel about the term rape culture or not, but I mean, this is almost by definition in that school, in that environment, in that age group, mm-hmm. in that town, mm-hmm. in that county, you know, like I think you can extrapolate out that, you know, and we saw, and you know, in the recent rape trial, which obviously everyone went, let's be clear, everyone was found not guilty and all that, but that's not what we're saying. But we saw how the conversation on the WhatsApp conversations, how people felt about how it was acceptable to talk about women. This is another example, or girls, in the way that that woman was talked about, or in the way that, you know, this girls in school are being talked about. We seem to have an acceptance that it's okay to talk, when we're in an all lad environment, all blokes together, about women in a way that, to be fair, women find pretty shocking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so derogatory, and I think, you know, people in the public eye need to be very, very cognizant of the fact that, you know, whatever you say about women, whether it's privately or not, or about anybody, can come back and be made a public, you know, record. And, you know, from privacy laws and data, whatever, that nothing you say online is safe. So, you know, I think the absence of respect for women, which is not being, I suppose, challenged from the earliest ages, needs to be addressed from 3 years of age onwards, how young girls are treated, how young boys are treated, and what we understand by the definition of masculinity and what we understand by the definition of femininity. What does it actually mean to be a young man in Ireland today? What does it mean to be a young woman? What's allowed? What's not allowed?
We need to, you're dead right, we need to have that conversation. Someone says, it's not just porn. Have you seen TV series like Game of Thrones, Vikings, The Handmaid's Tale? They're all showing rape and gang rape scenes for the past few years. It's no surprise that young men especially think it's acceptable and that consent is irrelevant. I find it absolutely shocking to my generation, I'm in my 50s, that there's no sort of censorship around this. The so-called watershed is a farce. Who has gone to bed at 9 p.m. in this young age group? Also, explicit scenes of torture are shown, and this all desensitizes us to violence. Someone else says, I'm 47. When I was growing up as a preteen, hanging out with my male school friends, horseplay used to happen, tickling usually between us, but then it began to turn into something else. As soon as I would get uncomfortable, some of the boys would sense it and yell, rape, rape, She cried, hopefully. Okay, that's what the boys would slag each other. Uh-huh. Rape, she cried, hopefully. The point was that it was a pre-internet world, but the word rape was still being used by kids as a joke and in the exactly correct context. Someone else says, you would love if this was a list where they were talking about who they would kiss, but it isn't. And, you know, people still know what's right and wrong at 13 and 14. And someone says, Kira, please explain females and puberty to this guy. Boys are hardwired to think about sex. I know this is off the issue, but is this 1958? He knows nothing about girls. I don't think that's what you were saying.
Not at all.
Would you like to address that?
Not at all. Young girls think about sex all the time as well. The male brain is wired in a particular way that's different than the female brain. Males are all about dominance and power and control. Women are about connectedness and about relationships and about communication and about interacting in a kind of a very equal way. The male brain is not designed to do that. It's designed to seek social status and social dominance.
Yeah,
very different.
Somebody else says, you're about this rape list on a secondary school wall. As a mother of young boys, I have just discovered that 10 and 12 year old boys in their school are allowed to watch Grand Theft Auto, which features prostitutes, sex acts and killing of animated women. I'm disgusted and would never allow it. Yet there are parents who turn a blind eye. We as parents are responsible for instilling respect and morals in our children. And someone else says, I'm 27 and nothing like this ever happened when I was in school. Parents are 100% to blame. Let's talk about the parents. We've spoken about how you would feel if your daughter was on the list with the ticks beside her name. How would you feel if the school contacted you and said your son was either the one who wrote the list or your son was one of the people putting the ticks up beside various names? How would you feel for those parents? Because there's clearly Absolutely. Parents in both these roles today.
I imagine I would feel shocked and disappointed and disgusted with my teenage boy for having done such a thing. I guess I'd be asking the question, where does he think that this is okay? And what conversations about sex and sexuality have I not had that I probably should have had? You know, if we're allowing the education of our children in relationship to emotions, to feelings, to how to relate successfully to members of the opposite sex or the same sex as the case may be, if we're allowing those conversations to be informed by pornography or by violent games, by television, as opposed to by us as parents taking responsibility and opening up spaces for our children to have those open conversations with us, then, you know, obviously left to its own devices, the internet and children accessing the internet will go to the worst possible scenarios and their minds are being polluted by what they see. And unless I as a parent take full responsibility for ensuring that my son, if I had one who's 14 or 15 years of age, does not think those things are okay by me being the person as a model, me as a man being a model for how women need to be treated as well, and having those open kind of conversations, but also having just shown him how women need to be respected.
Remembering though that text we got in a couple of minutes ago from Barry, a few ticks on a kid's toilet is a watershed, like in inverted commas. That minimising, that goes on a lot when we talk about these kind of topics on the radio. And we, you know what, it's quite funny. I sometimes think we talk about these topics a lot on the radio, partly because I'm a female presenter and maybe these are the kind of issues I'm interested. We talk about these topics because they're in the news, because this is what's happening in our society around us. But lots of people do minimise this kind of stuff. I have teenagers and I actually ran this by them earlier on today. And I know lots of their friends and they're great kids. And I have male and female teenagers. But there certainly was a perception, it's just a joke. It's a bit of banter. That, you know, ubiquitous banter. And maybe in a crappy, really shit sense of humour kind of way, maybe it was a joke. But doesn't it still need to be looked at and addressed and dealt with?
It does. And I think, you know, having an open and frank discussion like this about sexuality and about what informs our children's perception of sexuality is also very important. We've had this approach in Ireland where the Catholic Church has come into schools, 96% of schools, whatever, are, you know, under the patronage of the Catholic Church, which is fine. But the church has always said that sex before marriage is bad, it's wrong, it's evil, it's a sin. Thinking about sex is actually a sin. People from church organisations go around to schools and tell kids that you shouldn't be thinking about sex, it's a sin and you're going to go to hell and bad things are going to happen to you. That doesn't actually help children one little bit. It just shames them and makes sexuality go underground. And then you have the opposite extreme, which is pornography, which says everything is fine, women are there for your gratification if you're a bloke, and if you're a bloke you need to perform really well and do certain things or she won't be happy with you and you have to have a huge penis, otherwise it's not going to be successful for her. That's just not okay, those two extremes. We need to be talking about this.
Is this like every other aspect? We have extremes. We have people extremes who are trying to link sex to shame, which is, I agree with you, totally bad idea. And then we have porn, which is trying to desensitize any kind of empathic connection, yes, between the people having sex, yes, on the other end of it. And actually, we are all just humans trying to exist somewhere in the middle. And surely if we're connected and caring and all of that, that first of all, you probably have better sex, but that's neither here nor there. Less harmful sex.
You'll have a more aware sex, a more present sex. What we do know from research is that the more pornography informs young men's experience of sexuality, the less connected they feel they are to their female partners when they do eventually have sex. They're just not even, they're not even there.
See, as I say about all these things, so many views come in, it just shows you that not all of us see things in the same way, and that's how society works. Someone says, very serious thing, suspend all the kids involved in the year, call in the guards to investigate, and then a rape crisis trainer. This is too serious to ignore. I do think it's too serious to ignore. Someone else says, it's a matter of respect, not about urges. Respect for women and the peers, respect for others' individuality as people. There is a culture of validation of male urges over respect for peers. This leads to boys feeling that women and girls do not have these urges and they must behave in a predatory manner to be accepted by male peers. An awful lot in that. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who maybe comes more from the same kind of school of thought as the texter Barry was earlier. Says, Kira, can people please calm the hell down? This bathroom graffiti is being blown out of all proportion. No, it's not nice, but things of this nature have been written on bathrooms for generations. This was potentially even just one or two guys, and we're talking about culture and a watershed. Ridiculous. Either children are raised in such a way as to know this stuff gets acted on or not. That's part of general parenting. Not a reason to demonise boys and men. Silly graffiti is not a reason to panic.
But the stats, the research that's coming out of social workers are dealing with a lot of cases of teenagers abusing other children because they themselves have been informed by pornography that this is okay, and they're so curious about sex and sexuality that they literally don't know what to do with what they're experiencing because it's actually causing them stress. So when a child watches pornography, it's very stressful and they don't know what to do with that stress. So there's a massive increase in children abusing other children because of this. So I'm sorry, but like people are just maybe a little bit slightly misinformed, and it's the tip of the iceberg for what's coming down the road. And I'm a private practitioner. I specialise in sex and porn addiction. And if you have children now at 14 years of age addicted to pornography, as they are, I can pretty much safely say that by the time these men are 20, they will be accessing prostitution and doing stuff they really shouldn't be doing, all because they don't know any different.
Okay, that's pretty sobering stuff. Just you're saying this is not an anomaly.
This is
tip of the iceberg.
I have friends who are teachers, and the stories I'm hearing from my best friends who are teachers is just shocking. This is just one poor, unfortunate school in Cork is now hitting the headlines, but it's all over Ireland.
Wow. Okay, look, thank you for coming in and talking to us. That is relationship expert there, David Kavanagh.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.